Okay, shalom to everybody. We're continuing with Rav Kook's commentary on the Gemara and Masechet Shabbat. Okay. Yeah, I put on the recording.
There's no icon that you're recording.
No, I record on a just a speech. Just a quick fill-in, what's been going on in the story. Rav Shimon Bar Yochai speaks against the Roman people, the Romans and their rule in the land of Israel. And the Romans hear about it, and they put a death penalty on his head. And then Rav Shimon Bar Yochai runs to the yeshiva, and then he's worried that the Romans will find him there. And he and his son, Rabbi Lezer, Rabbi Shimon, go and hide in a cave, where for 12 years they learn Torah. And after 12 years, they heard from Eliyahu Anavi that it's time they could leave, that the Caesar died, and all of his decrees are annulled. And then they leave, and they're very angry at the physical world. They say, the two of them say, we managed for 12 years on a miraculous carob tree and a spring of water which God provided us with. And everything physical that they looked at went up in flames, figuratively. And a voice came out from heaven and said, what, you've left the cave to destroy my world? You think God made mistakes? Go back to your cave. Who needs you? And after 12 months in the cave, they then turn to God and they say, God, we got the message. And we understood the punishment. And but even an evil person in hell, his punishment is just 12 months. In other words, can we leave yet? And now we're going into the source sheet. Okay, I changed the order here, but then in the end I decided to leave the order as it is. But here on the sheet, source number 2 really should be number 1. This is Siman Resh Ayin Hey, and the Gemara says, Yatzta bat kol v'yamratz umi maratchem. And a voice came out from heaven saying, you can leave the cave. Or as they used to say when we played hide and go seek, Ali Ali oxen free. And everybody can leave their hiding spot. Okay, Rav Kook writes as follows. Let me just move this out. Okay. Here. Lo lema'an sheyimtza ha'olam im kol ra'ato v'shifluto chen be'enei kedoshei elyon halalu haro'im et or ha'emet v'atzedek b'zoharo hayta matarat ha'achzara. Rav Kook is saying that these two super holy people, on their super holy level, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai and his son, Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai that we just commemorated his yahrzeit last week on Lag BaOmer, they were on such a high level, but it's not that Hashem tells them, leave the cave. Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Shimon, and his father, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. And Hashem is telling them, leave the cave, not so that they should artificially enjoy the physical world, which they see as a waste of time. Again, they looked at the plow, it went up in flames. They looked at this field, it went up in flames. They looked at the man who was plowing, it went up in flames. Rav Kook is saying, God, when he tells them to leave their cave, he's not saying, go and pretend that the outside world is super holy. Ki echev shar shiomar l'ra tov. How can you lie? God isn't into lying. He doesn't want us to say that something bad or something problematic is good. By the way, you should remember that the Chatam Sofer writes that there's a difference regarding the physical level of Eretz Yisrael before the Jewish people are here. When it's just individuals, but most of the Jews are in Bavel, and most of the people living in the land are non-Jewish, the level of holiness of the physical world in Eretz Yisrael isn't at its proper level. And in those days, there is truth, some truth, as we'll see, to Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai's not mixing the levels, saying what's holy is holy, and what is physical is physical. Ki im shiye koach hamra'am mimutak ba'ofen shiyunis kakim litikun. The idea was to send the two of them, Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai and his son, back to the cave in order to sweeten his spirituality, so it shouldn't, the edges shouldn't be too rough, that they should have that tolerance that we spoke about last time, that they shouldn't burn up everything in righteous indignation. And that's what they were supposed to do during the 12 months. Alkein lo yachlu ladat be'atzmam. But Rabbi Shimon and his son, they couldn't know themselves when it's time to leave. They didn't know if they have sweetened themselves and learned enough tolerance during those 12 months. So they turned to God and they said, God, can we leave the cave? And then Hashem gave them permission. They had to have that permission because very often a person himself, he's not objective. He doesn't know how much he has learned, how much he has advanced, how much he has matured and become more tolerant, like in this case. So they asked, and Hashem said, yes, you can leave the cave. Ad kama istaglu batamatam el metziyut be'ele yud beit chodesh. They don't know, only God knows, how much they have sweetened themselves during these 12 months. Kisof kol sof matzu be'atzmam nigud atzum al kol sidrei ha'chayim ha'nehugim. During those 12 years, they really found a lack of patience for the physical world because they saw that you could manage with much less. Piska gimel, omnam, al pi atzat Hashem ve'ashgacha ha'elyona, only with Hashem's wisdom and his intervention, hamitzarefet et kol rayonot vanetiot letachlita ha'elyona, where Hashem takes all of the good from each and every character trait and takes it to its proper place. We are going to see in the next paragraph, Rav Kook is going to say there is a time and a place for righteous indignation. For example, we know the story of Pinchas, when Pinchas made shish kebab out of the nasi of Shevet Levi and the Midianite woman who he had relations with in front of everybody. Moshe Rabbeinu says that is the action that needed to be taken. If sometimes you have to do something extreme in order to make that mark that needs to be made, to make the statement that a person really sometimes needs to be angry. And that's what we're going to talk about in the next paragraph. Kevan shekvar nimchaka sa'at nigudam be'ofen sheyuchal la'olam lekabel et asher yatza me'itam. But once they have sweetened themselves and they have, literally it means nimchak se'ah. When you fill up a cup with flour, say, what you do is you top it off to take the extra so that it should be the exact amount that you want. And that is the idea of a midah. Midah, a character trait, literally means a size. Because every midah in its proper size, every character trait in the proper size is good or isn't good. Just like a shoe. If a shoe is exactly your size, it's great. If it's a little too big or a little too small, it doesn't do the job. Anybody who's taken insulin or certain other drugs knows that if you take too little, it doesn't do the job. You take too much insulin, chas v'shalom, it could be dangerous. You have to find that right amount. And that is what Hashem wanted them to do in the cave for the 12 months, to top off the extra indignation, that they should have learned that necessary tolerance so that they could influence and be connected with the physical world. Ligodlo, Romemo, Lavio, Lamalato, Anoedit, Alkain Yatsa Batko, Vyamrat, Umi Maratchem. And therefore, a voice came from heaven telling them, you can leave the cave. You are ready to rejoin the Jewish community. Now we're going to go, source number one, it really is the next paragraph, Resh Ayin Vav. The Gemara continues, the story continues, and it tells us, Nafku. So Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai and his son Rabbi Elazar, they left the cave. Kol hecha davi machi Rabbi Elazar, havi masi Rabbi Shimon. Young people have a tendency to be hotheads, and his son continued being angry at the physical world. But everything that the son looked at and went up in flames, Rabbi Shimon, the father, the wiser, the more mature, he healed. And now it's interesting. We'll see in the end, at the end of the story, that both of them learn the proper tolerance. And both of them learn to match, to harmonize. That's the key word that Rav Kook always uses. Also patience, and also real anger and idealism. But at this stage, there's this middle stage where Rabbi Elazar is still angry. Rabbi Shimon has already learned the patience. Rabbi Elazar, the young son, is still burning things up. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai is healing them. What is the symbolism here? Explains Rav Kook. Kol koach kishemitgaber b'midah gvoha I efshar lo litchaber im hakoach ha'hofchi lo b'kfifa achat. Every power, every drive, when it is running full steam, in full force, you cannot force it to live together with its opposite drive. And this is a very, very important point. Whenever we learn Rav Kook, we've learned often about harmony, about unity, about thesis, antithesis, and then synthesis to synthesize the two approaches. What Rav Kook is telling us here is that in Kabbalistic terms, first you need chesed, then you need gevura, and only then can you harmonize them in tiferet. In other words, we live in what's called in the Zohar, the world of divisions, Alma de Piruda. And you can't pretend to harmonize two opposites in an artificial way. You have to let each of the ideals develop themselves properly, and only then, after each one has been developed, bizchut by the fact that you gave itself space. I remember not a few times, young couples, students of mine, after they get married, they find it difficult to find this balance, because a lot of times right after the marriage, you figure, hey, we're supposed to do everything together. Everywhere we go together, everything we talk about, everything, we are one, which in general is true. But sometimes one spouse will say to the other, I need a little space. And in young couples, that offends the other spouse. What do you mean? I thought we're supposed to be together. One for all and all for one. Rav Kook is telling us that there needed to be this stage where Reb Eliezer is still getting angry and developing the Sur Meirah, the fighting against evil, and let Rabbi Shimon develop his kindness. And each one has to develop themselves, and only then can we harmonize them together. It's inevitable that young people are extreme. I remember once I saw in a survey that divided Israeli voters by age. So the most extreme right wing and the most extreme left wing are mostly young voters. And I think everyone here is old enough to understand why. Young people see the world simplistic and black and white, and all the truth is in this side or in that side, and the other side are traitors, or the other side are traitors, and the idea of harmony only comes at a later step. It's very difficult to unite. If you remember, we spoke once about Yitzchak Avinu, who was a Ish Sadeh. He planted the land of Israel. He developed the holiness of the land of Israel. He was the only farmer of the forefathers. He was the only one of the forefathers who never left the land of Israel. He was a holy person who realized the holiness of the physical. But what happened was, in his twins, Yitzchak saw a split. Whereas by Yitzchak there, the physical and the spiritual harmonized. In his children, again, young people tend to go to extremes. Yitzchak saw that Yaakov took the spiritual aspect. He's a Ishtam Yoshev Alim, sits and he learns all day. On the other hand, Esav is a hunter. He has the physical strength. And that was exactly the machloket between Yitzchak and Rivka, because Yitzchak said, well, if we have to choose between the two, and the blessing is for the land of Israel, so let's give the blessing to Esav, because the land of Israel, in the end, is physical. Rivka, Rebecca, his wife, said, no. If we have to choose between the physical and the spiritual when it's split in our children, then let's go for Yaakov, who is more spiritual, and we can put on the arms of physicality, both figuratively and literally, onto Yaakov. But again, it takes a Yitzchak, an older and more mature Yitzchak, to be able to get to Tiferet, to that harmony and a unity. What Rav Kook is saying here is, don't oversimplify the world. Yes, thesis, antithesis, in the end, synthesis. But you can't do it at the age of 18, and it takes years and years of gradual development. And in general, you need one group or one party to develop the right wing, and you need another party to develop the left wing, and both are important. The Rav Kook goes on in Piska Bet. Let's go back to the share screen. Alken, kevan sheshnei hatzdadim hem le'im inyan v'divrei emet merubim. Because there is truth in both Rabbi Elazar's anger at the people who are overstressing the physical aspect of the world, right, that most people overindulge in the physical aspect of life at the expense of the spirituality. So, both there is that aspect. Hatzad ashlili, the side of negating the evil, sur meira, even oavei Hashem sinura, fighting against evil, hamore ala ra'av ashliflut sheyesh b'metziut, which sees the problems in the physical world. V'avchanat chulshat anagat ha'chaim al yedei lev bnei adam anishmat v'anishmal. And also the weakness of human beings who go and take the physical world and physical pleasure to extremes. That's what preoccupies most people most of the time. So there is room to point out the problematic of the physical world. V'atzara shenilu mato, as opposed to Rabbi Elazar b'Rabbi Shimon, who is the sur meira, who's pointing out the problems, you also need limso etatov. You need somebody like Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai at this stage who understands to point out the good. Bein stadei atov nimtzeim gam b'matzav hayarud shel ha'oveh, to see the good even in the problematic place where it is today. Bein atov sheyeh nitzmach ba'atid davka miyom ekara. And also, in addition to seeing the good that already is today, to know that the world is based on evolution and that it will get even better. In other words, you know, maybe the best way of seeing this is in Rav Kook himself. I published an article last year where you see Rav Kook himself has both aspects. On the one hand, the side of Rav Kook, which is more famous, is the good. I brought for you the famous quote, which we mentioned in the past. It's a good time to see it inside. All the way down at the bottom of the share screen. Source number 5. Al ken hatzadikim hatorim. The pure, righteous people. Enam kovlim al rishah. They don't kvetch. They don't complain about evil. Ela mosifim tzedek. But they add goodness. Enam kovlim al kfira. They don't kvetch and complain about atheism. Ela mosifim emunah. But they add belief. Enam kovlim al ba'arut. They don't complain and kvetch about ignorance. Ela mosifim chokhma. But they add wisdom. In other words, what Rav Kook is saying, rather than kvetch about the bad and the problems, let us add light. Because a little light can chase away a lot of darkness. I started saying in one of Rav Kook's public statements, Kruzim, which was published in the newspapers, you saw a classic Rav Kook, where on the one hand, he is telling the people that you should be observing Shabbat. He's telling the Chalutzim you should be more religious. You should return to tradition. But together with that, Rav Kook stresses the good in the Chalutzim. That it's great that you have come back to the land of Israel and that you're working the Holy Land, etc. Now, I saw something very interesting, and this is what I published. In Rav Kook's archives, we have the different drafts of the letter. And I noticed here, and also in other examples, that when Rav Kook writes his first draft, it is more angry. You can feel Rav Kook's anger. It hurts him so much that people are not observing the Torah. And it really, he feels it in his kishkes. And he writes with more fire and brimstone. In the second draft, he censors himself and takes off some of those extreme bituyim, extreme statements. In the third draft, and the fourth draft, and finally in the fifth draft, every single draft, Rav Kook, little by little, is undergoing the process that Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai went, and that his son Rabbi Lezer Bar Rabbi Shimon went. In other words, Rav Kook is not parva. He's not a little of this and a little of that. And yes, religion is important, and so too Zionism is important. No. Rav Kook, when he writes about the importance of Torah and religion, he is very, very strong, almost like Rabbi Lezer Bar Rabbi Shimon. But the beauty of Rav Kook is that he overcomes his first inclination, and little by little he sweetens, like his words here, he sweetens the wording. He rubs off the rough edges. He takes off the words that might be offensive. And that is the final Rav Kook. That is Tiferet. In other words, Rav Kook is in love with the Torah. And he does see problems with those who don't observe the Torah. On the other hand, he loves the people of Israel so much that in the end, he softens things up and words them in an intelligent way. We once mentioned here that Rav Kook, in one of his letters, in discussing the mitzvah of rebuking, if you see a Jew doing something wrong, you're supposed to rebuke him. And Rav Kook says, but you have to rebuke him in a language that he knows. If you yell at him in Spanish and he doesn't know Spanish, you haven't fulfilled the mitzvah of rebuking. And here too, Rav Kook is evening out, and that's how he explains the Gemara, why there needed to be this stage where Rabbi Elazar still has this righteous indignation. He is angry at the physical world. But Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai is softening it up, and everything that Rabbi Elazar lights up, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai saves it. And this, again, is a classic example of what we've seen so often in the past. Tzedakah asa kadosh baruch hu im olamo. God did us a favor that he did not put all of the truth in any one person. But there is truth here, and there is truth there. And each of the truths have to be developed. If you remember, we discussed, Rav Kook gives the example of shtilim, that when you plant saplings in an orchard, you plant them at least 2 yards apart from each other. And even though it seems like it's a waste of area, right? You could plant another tree in the middle. Why do you need to leave them so far apart? Rav Kook explains so that each sapling does not take anything from its friend. Each one has enough nutrients, enough water, enough sunlight. And then little by little, the saplings grow until they merge at the top. And that is what we see when we ride in an airplane, that a forest or an orchard looks like one green carpet. Okay, getting back to Rav Kook. In paragraph, we are in source 2, Gimel, the end of source 2. I'm sorry, the end of source 1. Alken, therefore, Kidei sheyushnei hatzdadim mleim kol echad mioto asechel ve'or elui anitzrach lo, in order that each of the two opposing approaches have enough logic and light and godliness, all that they need. Nechliku l'shtei ma'archot. We need the right wing and we need the left wing. And we need the Lubavitch and we need the Satmar and we need Breslev, and every stream in Judaism is necessary to develop their aspect at the first stage, where it says in the Zohar, Alma de'ichuda shari bipiruda v'siem b'chibura, that the true world starts out distancing ideas from each other. And this, for example, is what Rav Kook wrote about communism. Communism in its time, it was good to develop certain aspects of their ideology. But when they took it to extreme, that's the time to stop listening. I should point out that what we've been learning today, when Rav Kook calls most of his books, most of the cookbooks, Orot, the lights of this, the lights of that, Rav Kook saw goodness in every single topic, and sometimes it got him in trouble. Rav Kook writes about the truth in Christianity. Even the Christians helped the world advance in monotheism. Rav Kook writes about the advantages of atheism. He says that we need a stage in today's world that people have to talk against and put down the negative religion, the negative aspects of religion, the simplistic religion, in order to help us rediscover the deeper and higher religion. But Rav Kook is telling us, yes, there is even a time and a place for Spinoza. There is a time and a place for Bible criticism, Rav Kook writes, in order to find out the good questions. There's a time and a place for Eliezer ben Yehuda. Even though Eliezer ben Yehuda was anti-religious, Rav Kook respected him for reviving the Hebrew language. Rav Kook looked at the Chalutzim and saw what they did good. And that is the key to tolerance. Rav Kook saw the good in sports, in exercise. He's not saying that's what you should do all day, but he saw the importance. Rav Kook saw the importance in nationalism. He saw the importance in universalism. Rav Kook saw the importance in everything. And that's really the beauty of religious Zionism. Religious Zionism stresses it all. We try and take the good from each of the streams, as we said many times. But again, the chidush of what we've seen today is Rav Kook is telling us, don't take this superficially. First, you have to let each stream develop their ideology. But today, Baruch Hashem, that we are now back in the land of Israel, the time has come to gather the sparks together, to harmonize all of the different approaches, and to start getting to that level of Tiferet. And again, even Rav Kook, in his own writings, at first, he showed that Sur Meira, the problem that he has, and even anger with those who are doing bad. And then he gives the antithesis of Avat Yisrael, of love of Israel, and tolerance. And only at the end, after five drafts, does Rav Kook do self-censorship until he gets to where he wants to get, the level of Tiferet. And in the end, V'chol heicha dahavi machi Rabbi Elazar havi masi Rabbi Shimon. And that is how Rav Kook is explaining why, on the one hand, God let Rabbi Elazar burn things up, because there is a time and a place for the Haredi approach. You really have to feel it in your kishkes when somebody transgresses the Torah. On the other hand, together with that, you have to heal that which the zealots can destroy. Zealots can do a lot of damage. And today, in Jewish history, we are already at the stage where we have to really harmonize it all together, because we're capable of doing it, and we're interested in doing it, and that is the ideal, to balance all of the different extremes. Tiferet, harmony.